A very good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington this Wednesday, July the 27th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. Here are our top stories this evening. President Mugabe says he won't resign after he was dumped last week by some former freedom fighters.
This is me. My people will have me for yet some time.
Struggling university graduates prepare to stage a peaceful march in Zimbabwe.
What we have seen is massive corruption, and now the economy is in a state of animated suspension. We cannot continue to tolerate this. After all, they are threatening people using ZANU-PF youths, raw gawk youths.
Botswana civil society groups urge President Ian Khama to intervene in Zimbabwe gripped by social and political unrest.
It's important that the head of SADC intervene, but obviously we can't take initiative on our own.
And the MDCT plunges into a political crisis following the appointment of two deputy presidents. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. President Robert Mugabe says he will remain in power despite growing calls for him to leave office for allegedly failing to run Zimbabwe. The president made those remarks at a meeting convened today by war veterans and the ruling party following a bold move by some former freedom fighters to dump him ahead of the 2018 presidential elections. Thomas Chiripasi attended the meeting at the ZANU-PF headquarters and filed this report.
Addressing some former freedom fighters belonging to a faction of the Zimbabwe Liberation War Veterans Association, led by Manical and Provincial Affairs Minister Mandichimene, Mr. Mugabe said he would not leave office, charging that he was created to be president. President Mugabe said he would continue to occupy the country's top post for as long as he was still alive and Zimbabweans still wanted him to lead.
This is me, and my people will have me for yet some time. Like me, I say, well, that's your own concern. I say, I don't mind it.
The veteran leader accused Britain, France, and the United States of working with some war veterans and opposition forces through their embassies in Harare to effect what he described as illegal regime change. Some veterans of Zimbabwe's Liberation War aligned to Chris Muchangwa, who was recently expelled from ZANU-PF, last week called for Mr. Mugabe to leave office, saying he was too old to campaign for in the 2018 elections. Those war veterans also accused Mr. Mugabe of failing to run the country's affairs. The president dismissed these allegations.
The embassies, foreign embassies in the country that are interfering with our politics, intervening, although they're doing it privately, clandestinely, I want to warn them to desist from it. Their rules, the rules that govern them, don't allow them to interfere with our politics, to try to subvert our system of government, and to do things that amount to subverting the present government and its authority. Please stop.
However, representatives of some foreign embassies told Studio 7 in recent weeks that they were not involved in Zimbabwe's political affairs, adding that they were only expecting the Harare government to uphold the rule of law and protect citizens' rights. Meanwhile, factionalism in the ruling party took another turn today when Chimene openly castigated Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa for allegedly keeping quiet when allegations of him plotting to remove President Robert Mugabe from power were being leveled against him by some in the ruling party. The vice president, who attended the meeting, did not say a single word, although Chimene challenged him to take on Mr. Mugabe at a special congress if he was power hungry. Mnangagwa reportedly leads a ZANU-PF faction that is angling to take over from President Mugabe once he leaves office, while First Lady Grace Mugabe is allegedly leading another faction calling itself Generation 40 or G40. Mr. Mugabe encouraged Mnangagwa not to remain silent on allegations being leveled against him. There was some drama before the president took to the podium when singer and ZANU-PF activist Energy Mutodi was chased away from the meeting by some ZANU-PF youths who also manhandled some journalists from the independent media in the full view of the ZANU-PF leadership. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Indications are that one of the war veterans, Douglas Mahia, has been arrested for spearheading a move by former freedom fighter to dump President Mugabe.
Some unemployed graduates told journalists in the capital city today that they have been reduced to beggars as they cannot find formal employment in an economy that is not generating any jobs. One of the graduates, Samuel Meso, who has industrial and manufacturing engineering degree, said it is worrying that President Robert Mugabe remains in power when most of them cannot find jobs. Meso accused the president of running a government with allegedly corrupt ministers and other state officials who cannot come up with policies to create jobs for graduates and other people in the country.
What we have seen is massive corruption, and now the economy is in a state of animated suspension. We cannot continue to tolerate this. After all, they are threatening people using ZANU-PF youths, raw gauk youths. We are saying enough is enough. We are the citizens of this country. We are saying no to non-partisanship, unemployment, injustice.
The graduates said they have already written a letter to President Mugabe asking him to address their concerns on the day of the march. Another graduate, Kudzai Hove, said they posted the letter as they could not physically hand it to him.
In terms of us knowing whether the president received this letter or not, it's one of the things which we highlighted, that it's unfortunate the state where we are living in. We are all afraid. I don't know if there's any one of you who can volunteer today to help us go and submit this letter in the president's office. We would be more than welcome and happy if you do that for us.
Zimbabwe has been hit by sporadic protests, with Zimbabweans expressing their disgruntlement over the ZANU-PF government's promises in the run-up to the 2013 general elections that it would create 2.2 million jobs. The country has an estimated unemployment rate of 8-9%. Meanwhile, some Zimbabweans calling themselves concerned citizens have urged President Mugabe's government to hand over power to a transitional authority in order to address the current social, economic and political crisis in the country. Speaking at a press conference in Harare today, the group said, without urgent action, the country faces a real threat of social unrest and the probable collapse of the state. The group is proposing that only National Transitional Authority, or NTA, will be able to lead Zimbabwe through a period of key reforms and economic stabilization that will result in free and fair elections. Dr. Ibo Mandaza, an academic and a member of the group, said the National Transitional Authority may save Zimbabwe.
We're in a crisis, political and economic crisis. Most people are protesting at what they don't like about the situation. Here is a proposal to get how to get out of the situation. Only a proposal to provide an opportunity during which the country can heal and economic and political reforms are undertaken before the next elections.
Another group member, BRICS Bomber, said the transitional authority can be an instrument that would allow the country to move from the current deepening crisis. He suggested that The NTA would create a conducive environment even for free and fair elections.
If we were to go for those elections without the reforms under a neutral body, such as being proposed as the National Transition Authority, those elections will be disputed and will only deepen the crisis that we are confronted with.
The group is suggesting that the National Transitional Authority should be composed of non-partisan Zimbabweans who should ensure that Zimbabweans hold undisputed elections and the necessary reforms needed to turn around the country's economy. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Patricia Mudadigwa.
Thank you, Patricia. That there was a report from Patricia Mudadigwa in which university and college graduates who are failing to get jobs say they will stage a peaceful march next week to express their dismay over the current harsh economic situation in Zimbabwe. In a related development, a coalition of Botswana civil society organizations have called for an end to police brutality in Zimbabwe and urged outgoing SADC chairperson Ian Khama to intervene. Studio 7 correspondent Martin Gwenya has more details from Gaborone.
The Botswana Civil Society Solidarity Coalition for Zimbabwe, or BOCISCOS, says the brutal beating of ordinary Zimbabweans during recent peaceful protests should stop. The organization's spokesperson, Tlasezo Palime, says it is time for Botswana President and SADC Chairperson Ian Khama to act on the unfolding Zimbabwe crisis.
We have obviously, as BOCISCOS, we feel that it's important that the head of SADC intervene, but obviously we can't take initiative on our own, because at the end of the day, SADC is an organization which has members. So we're hoping that other member states will also feel that it's important for SADC to intervene.
The coalition urged the Zimbabwe government to uphold the rule of law in the face of rising dissent, where protests have been the order of the day. BOCISCOS, which brings together trade unions, human rights groups such as Tshanelo, Botswana Council of Churches and other non-governmental organizations, says the President Robert Mugabe government must restore the rule of law. BOCISCOS says the government should reverse a recent import ban on certain goods, which it argues denies many Zimbabweans, particularly cross-border traders, a decent living in the face of rising unemployment. Additionally, the civil organization says the ban is against the SADC trade protocol. Meanwhile, Palime says it is aware that a group of Zimbabweans were recently denied the right to march to their country's embassy in Gaborone.
We heard that there were some Zimbabweans who had planned to march to the embassy, but obviously one has to firstly find out why they were denied permission. Had they applied for a permit? Had they gone through the proper procedures?
One of the concerned Zimbabweans, Mr. Chris Madondo, says they are taking the matter to court after the police denied them the right to march to the embassy and present a petition to Zimbabwe's ambassador to Botswana, Mr. Thomas Mandigora.
Advise our lawyer to approach the court on the matter regarding the turning down of our intentions to march on the last application.
BOCISCOS says the situation has reached a level where SADC cannot turn a blind eye, as it has the implication on regional peace and stability. Reporting for Studio 7 in Gaborone, Botswana, this is Martin Gwenya.
At the same time, a coalition of 30 civil society organizations in Zimbabwe says it is concerned by the deteriorating economic conditions currently prevailing in the country and the heavy-handedness manner in which the state is using in response to civilian protests. Oke Machisa, director of Zimbabwe Human Rights Association, which is part of the signatories to a press statement released yesterday, tells reporter Jongaka Ndemiri that they want SADC to put Zimbabwe on its agenda for its meeting next month.
I would like to thank the people of Zimbabwe for coming up with legal and constitutional ways of telling the government that enough is enough. And it is indeed that the civil society of Zimbabwe is echoing or buttressing what these forces are saying to the government of Zimbabwe. So we are not changing anything. We are actually saying this is what the people of Zimbabwe are saying, and precisely why we are saying we'd want the Zimbabwean issue to come back when the SADC has meet in August of next month.
Botswana Civil Society Solidarity Coalition for Zimbabwe, or BOCISCOS, has also issued a press statement on the current human rights situation in Zimbabwe. Are you working together with this organization?
Indeed. This is an organization that has always been in solidarity with the people of Zimbabwe. BOCISCOS has always taken our issues at higher levels.
That was Zimbabwe Human Rights Association Director O.K. Machisa in Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. A standing committee meeting of the MDCT was abandoned prematurely today after the party's vice president, Tokozani Kupe, confronted her boss, Morgan Changirai, over his appointment of Nelson Chamisa and Elias Mudzuri as his additional deputies. Sources say Ms. Kupe raised a point of order as the meeting was getting underway and objected to the presence of both Mr. Chamisa and Mr. Mudzuri, who were controversially picked by the MDCT leader a few weeks ago. Kupe told Mr. Changirai that his appointments were illegal as they violate the party's constitution. Other standing committee members joined in, and those fought in Kupe's corner include organizing secretary Abednego Bebe, secretary general Douglas Monzora, party chairman Love Momoyo, Lynette Gore, and party spokesman Obed Gutu. Those who supported Changirai are Charles Wende, Amos Chibaya, Tabita Kumalo, and Murisi Jijai. Morgan Komichi and Paulina Mpariwa remained neutral, while Teresa Makoni and Happy Mochidziva skipped the meeting. About 20 minutes of heated squabbling, Mr. Changirai called off the meeting and referred it to the party's national council and the national executive. One official who attended the meeting described it as the shortest and most hostile ever of all standing committee meetings. For perspective, reporter Ntungamili Nkomo reached political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda.
The fact of the matter is that for as long as we can remember, the MDC has not had an experience where a meeting gets abandoned and Changirai loses total control of a meeting of one of his national committees. And I think that this is an indication that things have this time gotten completely out of hand for him, and that he is losing some bit of control amongst those stalwarts who have worked alongside him for a very long time and are unwilling to criticize him. I think we've come to a point where we realize that to a certain extent his influence and power is waning. Justice is the influence and power that's on Mugabe's side. I think it is unfortunate that Changirai is reaching this milestone right at the same time when ZANU-PF and Mugabe is reaching the same milestone, which means the influence that he has, if Mugabe loses influence, he's going to lose just as much influence because it is going with the mood. It is a very bad moment for the opposition to be going through what it is going and for this meeting to have been abandoned. And I think that it indicates a miscalculation by Mr. Changirai in terms of how he was supposed to carry out his appointments. Did them at the wrong time? Did them when he just came from leave of sickness, when he didn't have enough time and control to understand what members of his party and the different structures in his party were thinking?
What message do these squabbles send to the masses who for long have rooted for the MDCT?
The mood indicates that people would like to resist any form of dictatorship, and move, the message that's going out there to the people, is it a good message for the opposition and its desire to get into power?
That was political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda in England. Coming up, Hillary Clinton makes history as her husband dazzles delegates with a powerful speech at the Democratic National Convention. But first, a look at regional and international news. John Hickley, the man who attempted to assassinate President Ronald Reagan 35 years ago, will be released soon from a government psychiatric hospital in Washington. U.S. President Barack Obama is set to tell Americans why he thinks Hillary Clinton, his one-time Secretary of State, should replace him in the White House when he leaves office next January. Obama, finishing 8 years as the American leader, is the key speaker on the third day of the Democratic National Convention, where delegates on Tuesday acclaimed Clinton as the party's 2016 Democratic presidential nominee, making her the first female standard bearer from a major U.S. political party. Vice President Joe Biden, Clinton's vice presidential running mate, Virginia Senator Tim Kaine, and former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg are set to make the case for Clinton. On Tuesday night, Clinton's husband, former President Bill Clinton, offered an impassioned speech for her, recounting his courtship of her in the 1970s while they were in law school and the family life with their daughter Chelsea through the past 30-plus years. Hillary Clinton officially secured the nomination Tuesday when Sanders closed the customary roll call of states by asking the convention to select her by acclamation on unanimous vote. But the move by Sanders did not go down well with some of his supporters, who staunchly oppose Clinton and have not accepted his calls for them to support her. Several hundreds of them walked out of the convention hall and staged a sit-in protest. For perspective, Studio 7's Johnny Sojani speaks to VOA's Edrissa Dia of the French service.
For the first time in the history of the two major parties of the United States, a woman has been nominated to run for president of the United States. That's a historic event, and it was duly noted, and Hillary Clinton is that woman, and she'll be running against Donald Trump come November 8.
What is the significance of Hillary Clinton winning the Democratic ticket and being the first woman Democratic nominee in history?
It is because it never happened before. And, you know, there was a first with Barack Obama being the first Black American to accede to that highest office on the land here in the United States. And now you have a woman who has a chance of getting there, and also showing to every woman and every young girl in the United States that it's possible. It's possible, and that's what America is all about.
Bill Clinton used words to describe Hillary Clinton, such as change maker, mother first, as if appealing to emotional side of his supporters. Why did he do that?
He had to introduce again, if necessary, his wife, because he's better in a better position than anybody else to talk about her character and what she represents for America, for the projects, the programs they are working on. Because Hillary Clinton is not very popular, and people don't trust her.
Chuoni Sojani also reached Doreen Kumalo, living in Denver, Colorado, who says she will vote for Clinton.
It was just one of those moments that shows democracy at work. It's something that I definitely wish for my country, that we can have leaders and people that do care about the nation and do care about people, and be able to get to that point where they take their desires, their ideas to a platform at a national level, instead of being squashed, killed, or made to disappear because they don't think like everybody else or don't support what the government is doing.
This is a historic moment for America. Do you feel Hillary Clinton's nomination has affirmed and paved a way for Zimbabwean women leaders to take a stand in the 2018 presidential elections?
Absolutely. We are just as capable as any other person to manage, and we do it every day. We manage, we lead, we work, we organize, we do all these things. And there shouldn't be this artificial feeling that if it's a certain position, all of a sudden a woman isn't qualified. So I think that is a huge step in terms of even people in our own country, when we're thinking about who would be the next president of the country. We shouldn't limit that arena to people that are necessarily of any particular gender.
That was Doreen Kumalo, a Zimbabwean living in Denver, Colorado, speaking with Studio 7's Chuoni Sojani. A And in our diaspora segment, Zimbabweans in New York in the United States are expected to hold a family day next Saturday aimed at bringing together families to share ideas on the situation back home and engage in social activities. One of the organizers, Chaka Ngwenya, says the event will feature different games and music. There will also be plenty of free traditional food that will be provided by the organizers of the event to promote the spirit of giving and togetherness. Ngwenya tells us the event has generated a lot of interest from Zimbabweans living in New York and other American states.
The event is on August 6th at Randall's Island, field number 6. This is under the bridge of a tribal bridge. It's a beautiful place close to the river. It's on Randall's Island, August 6th. It's the whole day from 11 o'clock until 8 o'clock. We will be having fun. It's a family event. Everything for everybody in the family.
What has made you decide to have this family event for Zimbabweans, and where are the Zimbabweans coming from?
I know it happens all over, but in New York, I think it's a little worse. It was Pastor Tembo's idea last year, and we thought we should bring Zimbabweans to be united. Mandebele, Mashona, Makalanga, Mandau, just come together to be united for once, just to be happy. We're providing all the food for free because we want Zimbabweans to be united. We want Zimbabweans to show the world that we can be united. Even if we belong to different parties, different churches, we can be united. It's all about unity. A lot of us, tinema cliques, little cliques, here to click up, click up. Even those who are in the churches, always fighting, finding fault in one another. We're saying this day, forget about your church, forget about your political affiliation. Just come out and enjoy. Let's speak Shona, let's speak Ndebele. Let's just enjoy the music. DJ Tau is going to be there with all music from all over, old school, new school, you know, future school, whatever you want to call it. Come out and just enjoy.
Why is it important, do you think, for Zimbabweans in the diaspora, especially there in the New York area, for them to come together and have this family day?
Listen, we belong in this country, but we don't belong in this country. We are Zimbabweans. Even our children, even if they are born here, they are Zimbabweans at the end of the day. And it's important, you know, right now we are always crying over the situations back at home. You know, we have to find a common ground to say, you know what, let's just come together and just fellowship and just be happy and cry together and be happy together for just one day. For one day, just come in and just unite and be together. There's so many things that are happening. A lot of people come to me and say, Shaka, what's going on with your country? You know, and I can't explain what's going on in Zimbabwe. It's very difficult. I just came from Zimbabwe in December. I can't explain to anybody who doesn't understand, but Zimbabweans understand. People from Bulawayo, Yokonangale, you know, people from Masingo, wherever, you know, Kwamtare, you know, they understand what's going on in Zimbabwe. So when we talk, we speak the same language. In other words, we understand what's going on. We understand what's going on, what has been going on for the last 36 years. We understand that. You can't explain that to somebody who is not from Zimbabwe. Some of them actually like the people who are ruling Zimbabwe because they don't understand, and some people don't like them. And we do understand. We understand the political situation in Zimbabwe. We do understand it, but foreigners don't.
So do you have any initiative that you do collectively as this Zimbabwean group that's meeting?
To be honest with you, we started this from the church. We said, listen, let's just love people. Let's just forget about bringing them to church. Let's just love people. Let's just do something amazing for the people, just for the love of the loving Zimbabweans, their friends and their families. I know there are a lot of them who are not from Zimbabwe, but they are their friends. Right now, we have soccer teams that are coming from Zambia. No affiliation, nothing. Just loving people and saying, come out and enjoy yourself. No stress. Come and distress.
That was Chaka Ngwenya, one of the organizers of the Family Day set for New York, August the 6th, speaking to us from New York. Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. Today, our host Gibbs Dube and Jonga Kandemiri will be talking with listeners about the clash between President Robert Mugabe and the war veterans. Now to recap on today's top stories. President Mugabe says he won't resign after he was dumped last week by some former war veterans. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.